Amen. I'm thankful this morning that not only is he all I need, he's all I've got. If we got him, we certainly don't need anything else. If you got your Bible with you this morning, I will turn this thing on because I may not stand still. Try to keep it where y'all can hear me. If you got your Bible, you would turn over to Jeremiah chapter 6. Book of Jeremiah chapter 6. We'll read one verse there and then we'll get into the message. Before we start, tell you a little bit about myself. I've been preaching now about 2 years, I guess, a little over 2 years. I got saved when I was just a little boy, about 5 or 6 years old. God put me under conviction one night, laying in my living room floor, laying there talking to my mother, and went ahead and got saved. Didn't put it off, didn't fight it, just went ahead and said, "Lord, I need to be saved." You say, "What'd you get saved for?" Because I didn't want to go to hell. You say you get saved because you wanted to preach? No. I didn't want to do anything at the time except not go to hell. And I asked God to save me, and he did. And as time went on, my dad, he's a pastor up there where we go to church. So I've been living around preachers and church my whole life. That's the only life I've ever known. And when I got to be about 18 years old, the Lord started dealing with me about preaching. And one night up in a revival, Brother Jared was actually preaching, Brother Jared Pilkington. And the Lord started calling me, knocking on my heart door to preach. And I sat there and I thought about everything that I've watched my dad go through in the ministry. And I sat there and started thinking about all the other things, all the other people I've seen go through the ministry, and I knew that I didn't want any part of it. I said, "Lord, I'll clean the toilets at the bathroom, at the church. I'll cut the grass every week. I'll do whatever it is you want me to do. Just please don't call me to preach." I ran and ran and ran. I'm ashamed of it, but through God's grace and mercy, on May the 12th, 2019, I got tired of running. I was at my home church and had just been through a lot at the time, so things had fallen apart in my life, and I was sitting there one morning, we were singing, and the choir was up on the stage singing, and the Lord started dealing with my heart, and he said, "If you'll just preach, I'll help you." That's the only word that was in my mind. It wasn't peace, it wasn't rest, it wasn't anything else, it was preach the word. And thanks be to God, he took me to a place that morning where I didn't have anywhere else to go. Like that song we just sang, I didn't have anywhere else I could run to. I didn't have an escape plan. I was at a place that morning where I had to make a decision that I was either going to preach or I wasn't going to have anything else to do with God. And I thank God that that morning he let me surrender to preach. And so we've been going now about 2 years and do a lot of traveling around and read. He's faithful to go with me. I appreciate that. But I appreciate God above all, because there was 5 years of my life that I was saved. I didn't never lost my salvation. You can't do that. But I wasn't where God wanted me to be. And I sure do thank him for being patient with me over those years. And he's still patient with me every day. Because I don't know about y'all, but I still mess up every day. I still make mistakes. And if he puts up with me, he'll put up with anybody. I'll just tell you like that. So that's a little bit about us, and we sure are glad to be here with y'all this morning. I appreciate the opportunity. We've preached down the road over with Brother Tony and them, Brother Tony Wilson and Pleasant Grove. We've been down there several times. Love those people, and sure do just appreciate God this morning allowing us to come to church, allowing us to be here. So with all that said, I want to try to help you this morning. I'm not going to preach long. I do believe in the numb-dumb theory when it comes to preaching. I believe that when the people's backside goes numb, their brain goes dumb. So it gets to a point where what I'm saying ain't going in and it's not doing any good, so I will try to cut it off as quick as I can. I'm not going to be long-winded this morning. But Jeremiah chapter 6, very familiar. Jeremiah chapter 6, look there in verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we sure do thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come to church this morning. God, I thank you for just being so good to us, and for your grace and mercy. Lord, I thank you for each person in here. God, I know we all have busy lives, Lord, and there was a bunch of other things that we could have been doing today, God, but I thank you for everybody in here that told the flesh and the devil no this morning, and they decided to come to church. I pray now, God, that you just take me and set your power upon me, Lord. You know I won't do anything without you but make a mess, and I just pray you'd move my flesh and my opinions to the side, God, and I just pray you'd take over and preach through me and say what you want said, God, nothing more, nothing less. And I pray if there's one here lost this morning, I pray you'd show them their need of a Savior, God. And I pray if there's somebody here that's backslid or gotten away from you, Lord, I pray that you'd draw them home this morning that they might restore fellowship and continue on with you. And I just pray that, Lord, your Spirit would meet with us in this service. And we sure do thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, if there's one thing we know about churches today, modern churches, the way things are going, is that people have gotten away from the old path. The old path methods of preaching and praying and praising and all that stuff that we'll look at here in a little bit, people are walking away from that. People are preaching politics and preferences and personal opinions. And I got news for you. That stuff has got a place on television and on the media and on news and all that stuff. But the church house is not. For him to stand up and talk about the president. I'm not preaching about the president this morning. The president didn't save me from hell. The president can't save you from hell. The governor, the mayor, none of that. None of those people can get you any help at all spiritually. But that's what's popular. You start hearing that stuff today, what's it do? It'll fire you up, man. Somebody goes talking about my president. I'll get mad. I don't give a rip. But a lot of people will. They'll get fighting mad over something said about somebody just because they're in office and that's what they voted for. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves, just like a lot of other people today, we'll find that stuff walking in these doors. Yeah, preach on, brother. We'll find that stuff slipping in here. And before you know it, there's not much Bible being preached anymore. There's not much conversation about Jesus Christ. There's not much thankfulness anymore. It's all about what's going on around us. Yep. Ain't nothing good going on around us. You want something good, you're going to have to get into His Word. So that's what we want to preach on this morning, is the old path. Now you say, now that sounds old-timey and old-fashioned and all that. Well, maybe it is. But it's what the Lord wants us to preach, and that's what we're going to go with. Because I've noticed some things in my life, God hadn't changed any. He's still God. He's still the God that saved me when I was 5 years old. He was still the God that I talked to this morning when I woke up. His opinion about anything hadn't changed. He hasn't started accepting things that He didn't used to accept. No, He's still the same God He used to be. In the old paths, we see there, right there in the verse, you can look, you find goodness and rest. In some of these new modern ways, we'll find good for nothing, greed, and self-righteousness. In the old path, the old ways, we can find purity. Modern day, we just look for pleasure. In the old paths, we see godliness. In modern day, we see self-gratification. In the old paths, we can find holiness. In the new ways, we find haughtiness. In the old path, we find some good old-fashioned conviction. Today, we find conformity. Let me tell you something, friend. We go to a places to preach, and I'm just going to let you know this morning the church is dwindling. Bible-believing Christians are dropping out this morning. You say, why is that? Because they're going after something new. They're going after the next big thing, the next big way to draw a crowd, the next big way to get people's attention. Let me tell you something, friend. This morning, just keep holding on to the Word of God. Just keep preaching the King James Bible. Just keep this a holy place. Keep it set apart. Keep it sanctified. Keep it clean. Don't let the world in here, and it'll pay off. Amen. Now, you won't fill the church house up. You won't pack these pews out doing that because people don't want to hear it. People don't want to hear the truth. The Word is truth. Well, what we'll look at this morning is a few old pathways that we should stick to, and if you've gotten away from them, I pray this morning that you'd find your way back to them. Number one, we'll look at old path preaching. 2 Timothy 4:2, kind of like I said a minute ago, 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. If there's anything that I need this morning, and if there's anything that you need this morning, it's for a man of God to stand up behind the pulpit and preach the Word. Because the Word is what will have an effect on our lives. We can preach the news, and we can preach, I don't have a Facebook, but we can preach on Facebook, and we can preach on what so-and-so put on there, and what came across the television this morning, and what's going on in another country, and what's going on across the United States, and what's going on with COVID, and we can preach all that stuff, and it'll fire some people up, but it won't do your spirit a bit of good. That stuff won't make you any better a Christian than you were when you walked in here. You say, what do we stand in need of? We stand in need of God's holy word. Amen. Stand in need of reading it. We stand in need of preaching it, hearing it preached. But that's not what the popular crowd, that's not what the majority wants to hear. I realized this morning that sometimes it goes against the grain. It goes against the grain for me to hear that I'm a sinner. And then I still do bad things because in my mind, I got it going on. In my mind, I don't do much wrong. But in God's mind, according to His Word, I'm nothing without Him. So if I want to do something, I've got to go with His Word. I've got to go with what He says. A lot of churches today, you won't hear the book preached. The only book a lot of preachers today are concerned about is their pocketbook. They preach to make somebody feel good. They preach right directly at your emotions because they know if they can get up there and get somebody stirred up, then that'll get them on board. I'm not trying to stir you up this morning. I'm trying to give you a charge to get back to the way. If you've gotten away from them, and if you're still in the old path, ride that thing all the way to the house. I believe the Lord can come back at any second. I believe with all my heart. You say, well, preacher, they've been saying that for years. He's still coming back. He's still coming back to get us one day. He hadn't come yet. We're closer today than we've ever been. Keep preaching the Word. Preachers in the old times, I've read about a lot of them, D.L. Moody and John Wesley and George Whitfield and all of them. They preached sin for what it was. Nowadays, how many times do you hear the word sin come out of a modern pulpit? Not many. Because it makes people mad. They'll say, well, I'll bless God, leave if he gets to preaching on sin. Well, leave. But that's what God ordered. Amen. We're called to be separate. We're called to come out from among them and be ye separate. Thus saith the Lord. We're supposed to, as a church, now I said some of this in Sunday school, so if you were here, I'll just repeat it. If you weren't here, we need to hear it. We're called to be a church, to be clean, to be sanctified, to be set apart. When we walk out of that world into this building, it ought to feel like a church. People say, well, I don't want to go down there because it feels churchy. If it don't feel churchy, then what is it? If a church don't feel churchy, then what is it? It's worldly. When you walk in that door back there, you ought to know, hey, I'm walking into a holy place of God. You say, it's just a building. Yeah, it is just a building, but we're here as believers. We make up the body of Christ. This is a church. This is a holy place. This is not an auditorium. It's not a playground. This is a sanctuary. It ought to be treated like one. People today, they don't want to... And I'm not up here this morning just to get red-faced and blast you and step on your toes. I promise you. If you talk to me, I'm not that kind of person. But there comes a time when I have to stand behind this pulpit and preach what God says to preach. And that's His Word. That's the truth. Because that's what we stand in need of. Without it, we'll find ourselves off in left field, just letting anything go, letting anything come in. We'll find ourselves hurt. We'll find the house of God tore up. Let death walk right into the church house. So we need to get back this morning, and I understand that y'all are seeking a pastor, and I promise you I'll be praying. I know a lot of the cases that we go into, a lot of churches, that's the situation. Nobody wants to preach anymore. Nobody wants to pastor a church anymore. If they do it, they want it to be one of them big ones so they can get a big old check every week. Nobody just wants to get up anymore and just preach and teach the Bible. Let me tell you something this morning, friend. Don't settle for anything less. Don't settle just for the sake of having somebody with a title pastor. If they don't get up and they don't say, thus saith the Lord, and they don't declare what the Bible says, don't let them hang around. You say, why not? They'll poison the congregation. They'll start pumping ideas into people through preaching because they get up here, and I realize that when a man gets behind the pulpit, he has some sort of influence, and he has some sort of say-so and some sort of authority. But a lot of people are using that in a bad kind of way. They're using it to draw a following of themselves, not God. My main concern this morning, regardless of what you think about me, my main concern and my main job as a preacher is to help you live a better Christian life. Help you live cleaner, to help you walk closer to God. Sometimes that means reproving, sometimes that means rebuking, sometimes that means exhorting, but it's preaching. That's my job as a preacher. That's a man's job when he stands up and gains the attention of a crowd, is to direct people and to try to help people. I don't like getting up here and screaming at you. I don't like getting up here and sounding like I'm fussing. But that's a preacher's job. We'll be held accountable. I'll be held accountable one day for everything I've said behind the pulpit. For people that I may have deceived. For people that I may have led astray. I don't want to lead any of you astray. And like I say all the time when I'm preaching, these messages, you just think they sound rough. You ought to have heard it when God gave it to me. The stuff He was putting in my head when I was trying to write this stuff down. I've got it sweetened up as best I know how. But if He gives something to me, He just got to give it to me straight, else I won't get it. And that's what I want to try to do to you. I want to try to help you. If you've got something, if you've got a sin lingering around in your life, I want to help you get rid of it. I want to help you point it out. If you've got something, you've been giving heed to the wrong kind of preaching or reading the wrong kind of stuff, then I want to help you point that thing out and make it right. Say, why, preacher? Because it's something new. See, the Bible here says, stand in the old path. Where is the good way? Find rest. That's what we're all in search of this morning, is some rest, some peace. There's not much peace going out. And that's the main thing you go out into the world. They want everybody to come together. Want everybody to just mingle together. And they want... Under all that stuff, there's no peace. Amen. There's no rest. You want to find rest? You find rest in God. You find rest in a clean heart. You find rest in right living. You find rest in right preaching. That's my job this morning. My job this morning is, if there's anybody here that's lost, to show them that they're going to hell, that they need to get saved. It's not to preach on politics. It's not to preach on the news. My job is to help you spiritually, not carnally, not physically, spiritually. That's old path preaching. The old path preaching, it's no secret, it's dying. It's going away. Now, we've mentioned Brother Jared several times. I'm sure if you know him, you probably love him. I've known him all my life. I'm related to him. He's probably my favorite preacher. You say, why is that? Not because he's my cousin, or not because he's my friend or any of that stuff, but because he's not scared to get up behind the pulpit and preach the Word of God. He's not scared to get up there, and if he steps on some toes, then that's up to that person to come to the altar and make it right. But he's not scared to get behind a pulpit and just preach the truth. And I admire that. With all the other forces going on in the world today, if you've got some truth being piped into this church, you ought to let it hang around. Don't run it off. Stick to the old path, preaching. Number two, old path praying. Old path praying was around the clock. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. When's the last time you just took some time and you said, Lord, I'm not going to set a time. I'm not just going to try to rush through it. I'm just going to take some time, and I'm going to sit right here and I'm going to talk to you and I'm going to pray for however long you want me to pray. I know a lot of times I'm going through school, and I'll get home from work, and I'll get my school done real quick, and I'll lay down at night. I'll shut school down early, and I'll say, Lord, I'm just going to pray for a little while, and I'm just going to talk to you, and because that's what's most important. I'm going through Bible college, and that's very important. My job's very important, but above all that stuff, it's me and God that's number one. It's me talking to Him, Him talking to me. So I say, Lord, I'm just going to shut this all down tonight, and for however long you want me to pray, I'm just going to lay right here and pray. And I'm not going to ask you for anything. I'm just going to try to lift your name up and praise you a little bit and tell you thank you. And buddy, I'll get in there and get to praying, and it'll seem like I've been praying for 2 or 3 hours. And I'll look at the clock, I've been going about 4 minutes. But that's our lives. That's how we live. We live, go, 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 go. Don't stop. Don't slow down. Don't sit down. That's our life. We got kids in school. We got ball practice. We got to go here. We got to go over there. We got to go see them. We got to go see this person. Yeah. When's the last time you just stopped and knelt down and said, Lord, I'm not going to put any time limit on it? Yeah. I remember my grandmother. She's a big influence in my life. She's probably the greatest prayer warrior, one of the greatest women of God I've ever known in my life. And she's probably the reason, her prayers are the reason that I did surrender to preach before God killed me. Because every time I'd walk into her house, right before she passed away, I'd sit down and she'd say, Buddy, and I could tell when she'd been praying for me. And if you hear me preach too many times, you won't hear me go too many times without mentioning her. Because I know it was her prayers that started all this up. But I'd go in, I'd sit down at her table, and she'd say, Buddy, you know the Lord's got something for you to do. And maybe I'd been out there, I was 19, 20 years old at the time, and I'd been running from God all that day. And I know that she had been sitting at home in her rocking chair praying for me, and that's why that I was fighting the conviction that I was fighting. She'd say, Buddy, you know the Lord's got something for you to do. And I'd say, Unto God, Meemaw, would you pray for somebody else? I know what He wants me to do. He's made it clear, and I don't want to do it. So would you please just call out somebody else's name because I don't want to preach. But I can remember getting up, leaving for work 5:30, 5:45 in the morning, and it'd be just cracking day, and they live right across the street from us in a pretty long driveway. But I could look down there through the trees, and I could see that kitchen light on. They live in a little old tiny house, been around forever. And I could look down there and I'd see that kitchen light on. And some mornings, if it wasn't too cool outside, I'd see that old porch light on. I could see that little old lady, she was about that tall, sitting down there in a rocking chair early in the morning. She'd have her Bible open in her lap. Say, what in the world was she? She didn't work. She was retired. Say, what was she doing? She was praying. She was talking to God. What was she talking about? Everything. Not just, oh, my loved one's sick. Not just, they need some help. Or, Lord, I'm in trouble and I need to make these ends meet. No, she was just sitting down there talking to the Lord. And I'd sit down there, and sometimes I'd just sit in my truck. She might not even see me. And I'd look down there and see her praying on that porch, and I'd just break down and start squalling. Say, what's that? That's old path praying. That's praying in the Spirit of God. That's not just praying in a time of trouble. Now, thanks be to God, He'll hear us in a time of trouble. But when's the last time you just knelt down and talked to God when there was nothing bad happening? When's the last time you just took the time when nothing bad was going on, nobody was in trouble, nobody was in any need? You just knelt down and prayed a while. Say, thank you, Lord, for being so good. Thank you for my family. Thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for a church to go to and a home to go to and a job to go to. I realize we're busy, but friend, if we don't make time this morning, then something else will fill that time slot. Your mind is going to be focused on something. When's the last time it was focused on the Lord? Focused on talking to Him. People used to pray to improve their walk with God. Now they just pray to make known their wants. God, I need, and I'm guilty. I'm not just fussing at you this morning. Like I said, y'all are getting it a lot sweeter than I got it. But we just pray, Lord, I need this, and I need that, and Lord, I want this, and I want that. Don't He already meet everything that we need? Doesn't He already supply everything that we could ever need? He does. Do you thank Him for it? Or do you just ask Him the next time you need something? Don't let the path praying fade away. When's the last time a lost soul costed you some sleep at night? When's the last time a lost loved one kept you awake at night on your knees? Kept you out of the bed? Now, I'll just get personal with y'all this morning. Me and Reed have an older brother. He's about 29 now. And for about 10 years, he got away from God. He was raised just like us. Saved at a young age. A lot like myself, he got up in his teenage years and he just kind of got away from God, got out in the world, got to doing some things that we would call pretty bad. I mean, I know that God doesn't see any sin different than another, but we do. We see some sins as real bad sins. We see some things as, oh, that's terrible. We don't see our lying and our gossip and all that. We don't see that on the same level. But nevertheless, he got out in the world, and for about 10 years, it was looking pretty rough. There are people all over this world, all over this country, praying for him. And back about, I guess it was January of this year, he called me one night, and I went over to his house. And he was in rough shape. He was in a bad kind of way. And I couldn't do anything for him. I couldn't help him. I tried to help him. I'd given him everything I could give him. My parents had. Say, what'd you do? It was about midnight that night. And I got on the phone with some people and called Brother Jared, called some more of my friends, called some other preachers. I say, I need y'all to pray. I don't need y'all to send me any money. I don't need y'all to do anything else for me. I just need you to get down on your knees and pray. Call out my brother's name. That was on a Friday night. Thing went on all weekend. I could tell people were praying. I could feel it. I could see it working in him. That Sunday after church, I came in. I'd been off preaching, and he was there at my house. And his heart broke if I've ever seen anybody's heart break. And he knelt down right there beside my bed and wept and gave his life back to God. 10 years out living in bad sin. Real bad sin. Hardened, bitter, knelt right there and broke just like a child. Say, how are they doing? Great. He don't miss a service. He's there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He'll come in on a Wednesday night service, drenched in sweat. He owns a lawn care business. He'll come in filthy. He's coming to church. Amen. He's not missing. You say, what got him there? Some old-fashioned, old-path praying got a hold of God and called out His name, and God started working on his behalf, and it changed his life, just like it changed your life and just like it changed my life. Some old-fashioned, old-path praying. Would to God we had some more of that going on nowadays. Would to God we had some more of those grandmothers and those mothers that would wake up early in the morning before everybody else is up and start their day off with prayer. Would to God we had some daddies and some granddaddies that would take their kids at night and pray over their wives and pray over their homes. You might just see a difference. You might just see God work in some ways that you thought were a thing of the past. It's all up to us. Not only that, we see old path praising. Old path praising. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25, we all know that passage. That's Paul there. And at midnight, Paul and Silas sang, gave praises unto God in jail. Old path praising was praising God in the good times and in the bad times. That was praising God when somebody was sick and when everybody was well. It's praising God when the money was there and when the money wasn't. Praising God when there was food on the table and when we didn't know when the next meal would come from. Today's praise is conditional. If God gives us what we want and everything that we desire, then we'll tell Him thank you. It shouldn't be like that. God is still good. That old song we sing it all the time, God is still good when the waves roll high. He's still God. Today you walk in somewhere and half the churches you go in, you don't even know what they're saying in the songs. It sounds like if you close your eyes, you'd think you're at a Kid Rock concert or something like that. That's not old path praising. That's not the worship that God intended for us to have. Would to God this morning, I like those old hymns. I like walking in a church and opening up a book that's been on that pew for about 75 years. You can flip through that thing and there's tear stains in that book. And the pages are torn out of it and the cover's worn off of it. And you get up there and you start singing those songs and buddy, the Spirit of God comes in just like it used to. In the old paths, you get in somewhere and start thinking, start singing. And I like some of those old ones. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel. fanes, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. You get in somewhere and that stuff starts going on, man, and you're not worried about anything new. You're not worried about what's going on around you. You're not worried about what's going on out in the world. Say, what does that stuff do? It'll get you in touch with God. Some of those old songs, some of those old verses that we live by, they'll get you through the fire. They'll get you through the trouble. Have you gotten away from them this morning? I know we're all guilty. I know I'm guilty. I don't know about you. You may not stray. But I find myself oftentimes in thought wondering, Lord, what can I do to bring more people in? Or Lord, what can I do to reach more people? You can't reach anyone that doesn't want to be reached. You can't reach anyone with compromise. You let God do the reaching. You keep praising God in the old pathway, the way that's been tried and tested. Read over there in 2 Kings, I believe it's chapter 4, where Elisha has all those young men and they go out and he's going to feed them. They put on the great pot and they go out. One of those young men went out and he found a bunch of wild gourds that he didn't know anything about, a bunch of wild vines, and he brought them back and ground them up and threw them in that pot. And that's where the famous verse comes out, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. But you read on down in that passage, and the young man, he threw it in there. You know why it brought death? Because they didn't know what it was. It had never been tried. It had never been tested. Never been proven. See, people today, they're going out and they're bringing all this new stuff in. They're bringing all these wild vines in. And they're putting death in the church. They're putting death in Christians because they don't know what it is. Stick with what you know this morning. You say, preacher, I haven't strayed. Well, glory to God. Keep on keeping on, brother. But I know if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves wandering off that old path. Because it's narrow at times. At times we can't see much light on it. But it's true. Someone said one time, the right path always leads out at the right place. If you're old time praising and praying and preaching this morning, you're going to get led out at the right place. There may not be many of us, may be few in number, but we're headed in the right direction. And last, we'll look at some old path promises. In that same passage I just mentioned, Acts chapter 16, over there in verse 31, that Philippian jailer, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, be good to your neighbor. No. They said, go out and witness to people. No. They said, just do good. Just do the best you can. No. Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thanks be to God for those old path promises. It still applies to everybody. Old, young, big, small, boy, girl, it doesn't matter. Those old path promises that we live by. Y'all got them on the wall in here. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's what we ought to live by. If somebody brings something new to this pulpit that doesn't line up with the Word of God, don't walk on that path, friend. It'll lead you astray. Some of those old promises says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That shall, that's a promise. God's promised to take care of you and I. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. My God shall meet all my needs, according to His riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. We have some promises this morning that were pinned down thousands of years ago that we still stand on. We sing about them, we preach about them, we live by them, and I want to encourage you this morning, don't get away from them. Don't walk away from those old path promises that have worked. Listen, I could stand here all day just telling you about people that I've seen. We had an uncle one time that me and Reed, we would go fish with every now and then. His name was Uncle Ray, and he was probably the meanest human being I've ever met in my life. But for whatever reason, he took a liking to me and Reed. I didn't even know the man existed until I was about 12, 13 years old. I walked down to my papa's house one day, and there was a man down there that looked identical to my grandfather, but it was not my grandfather.
I said, "Who in the world is this?" And he said, "I'm your papa's, some colorful words, brother." I said, "Oh, okay." I didn't know my papa had a brother. But I never met him. He had been gone all my life. He was a wicked man. Had the filthiest mouth. We went fishing with him one time. My dad let us go. And after that, we couldn't go fishing with him when it was just me and Reed. Somebody else had to go. Because he cussed too much. He had a filthy mouth. And he got mad at my dad for not letting us go fishing with him. He said, "Why won't you let me take him?" And Daddy said, "Because I don't want them around that kind of language. I don't want them hearing that kind of stuff." And he said, "Oh, they got to learn how to cuss one day." That's the kind of man we're talking about. Well, one day, he got sick with cancer. And we'd been praying for him. I shed tears over that man. I know a lot of people did. And that cancer started softening his heart a little bit. He was up about 68 years old. And it was Mother's Day back in about 2010, 2011. It was May the 6th. We had asked him to come to church a bunch of times. He never would come. He always had other things to do. And his daddy was a preacher. And he decided when he was about 12, 13 years old that he was never going to do anything for God, never going to get saved. And when he got 15 years old, he left home. He didn't come back when his mother died, didn't come back when his father died, but they prayed a lot of prayers for him. And I remember that day, it was Mother's Day, I think it was May the 6th, we had asked him to come to church, and he was pretty sick. My dad had actually went to visit him the day before, that Saturday afternoon, and he was witnessing to him, trying to get him to get saved, and he said, "No, God can't save me." He said, "I'm too wicked. I've done too much wrong, and I've lived too long for the devil. God can't save me." And Daddy said, "Well, He can save you. Would you just come to church? If you won't get saved right now, will you just come to church tomorrow?" Uncle Ray said, "Yeah, I'll come, but I'm just coming for Reed. I'm not coming to hear the preaching. I'm not coming for the singing. I'm not coming to please anybody else. I'm coming for Reed." Now, Reed was just a little bitty fella at that time. But that old man walked in that church that morning. My dad, he preached. He didn't really preach a salvation message. It was Mother's Day. He preached on, a virtuous woman. Invitation was given. And I watched that old man break and walk out of that pew, walk down the aisle of that altar, and knelt down there, 68 years old, wicked as anybody you'd ever met in your life. He got saved. His heart broke. His will broke. He gave his life to God. Say, how is that stuff possible? I could tell you stories like that till we go home. Y'all get tired of hearing them. Old-fashioned promises. They stand true to anybody who will accept them. Now, I don't know your heart this morning. If you're in here lost, you ought to get saved. You say, "Well, I don't think I've done any wrong." You have done wrong. The Bible says, "For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God." There is none righteous, no, not one. Now, if you're saved, you know that. You've been told that and you believe that. But if you're not saved, that's the truth this morning. But there's a promise that can get you out of hell. Now, maybe we all are saved this morning. Sister, if you could come play something on the piano for invitation, just anything you got. If you're in here saved this morning, thanks be to God for it. But life's not over yet. We're not done yet. We still have an influence on people. We still have a life to live. And we still have a testimony. And I don't know anything about this church. First time I've ever been here. But as a Bible-believing church, Independent Baptist, King James Bible-believing church, you have a testimony. Just like our personal lives, we have a testimony. We have to protect it. We have to walk in that testimony. We have to live in that testimony. Friend, the only way you and I can come out on top today is to walk the old path. Follow the footsteps that have been laid out before us, the path laid out before us. If you're not saved this morning, you need to get on that path. You need to trust in those old path promises to take you to heaven. They work. They'll change your life. Maybe you are saved and you say, "Preacher, I've just not been walking like I should. I've been giving heed to the wrong messages, to the wrong preaching." You can get it right. But if you keep giving heed to it, it'll take you off course. It'll distract you. I know it wasn't anything real deep this morning. I'm not a deep person. You hang around me, you'll find out I'm pretty simple. But I know what works. And I know the old paths work. I know old-time preaching works. I know old-time praying. I know old-time saints of God getting down on their knees and praying like they ought to. I know that works. I know praising the Lord works. Bringing glory to His name, it works. And I know those old path promises work. You say, "How do you know?" Because they've worked in my life. They've gotten me out of hell. They've gotten me out of trouble. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Say, why do you like that? Because it works. Because there have been nights in my life, and I know that my problems are not your problems and your problems aren't mine, and I've gone through things that may seem big to me that are not big to you, but there's been nights in my life where I found myself flat on my face, weeping with a broken heart. You say, over what? It doesn't matter. Broken heart's a broken heart. And that old promise comes in there, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." That's a promise. I found that promise to be true. If you need to come this morning, you come. If not, that's fine too.